A chord in every muscle, every kiss you ever had. By Butterfly. Read by X-Manhater. Elliot flips through the makeshift portfolio, taking the occasional note. He focuses more on elements and pieces than he does on complete outfits. Thinks about this cut combined with that pattern, about which colors best complement the undertones of Q's skin, how to emphasize his looks without making him uncomfortable. Normally, Quentin doesn't like to be flashy, but if it's about letting Elliot and Marco play with him, he might be willing to go outside his comfort zone. "Does that feel heavy?" Marco asks. Elliot glances up as Marco presses a soft sponge against Quentin's newly shaven cheek, leaving behind a barely noticeable streak of foundation. Margot's positioned Quentin to catch the natural light pouring through the study's window, and between that and how she's pinned up his hair to keep it out of his face, there's a lovely artist-at-work vibe going on.
"Different skin types are best with different bases, so we can try another one if you don't like this one."
"I'm not sure what to compare it to," Quentin admits, with a shrug that gets him a glare from Margot for bumping her wrist. He doesn't look particularly repentant.
"I've only ever put on makeup for, like, Halloween costumes. This doesn't feel anything like that."
"I certainly hope not," Margot sniffs. Elliot grins, turns to the next page, and lets out a low whistle.
"Oh, hello."
He brushes his fingers over the lovingly drawn detailed images of a tailored male corset from three angles. He's not sure if Valorians call them corsets, but he knows one when he sees one.
"Bambi, come here. You'll love this."
Without looking up, he adds,
"Not you, Q. Stay there."
Margot bounds over, leans down to examine the page, and...
"Well, fuck. Yeah, put that one on the yes list for damn sure.
Replace the red accents with silver to match his crown, and that will be painfully hot."
"Are you really not going to let me see it?" Quentin complains, but he doesn't get up.
"You'll see it when we have the real thing," Elliot says, and he can't quite stop touching the paper, tracing the lines over and over. It's easy as anything to imagine it on Quentin, redefining the lines of his body, reminding him with every breath how much trust he's placed in Elliot and Margot.
"You're terrible at fashion, remember?"
Quentin grumbles, but with nothing as substantial as actual words this time. Elliot forces himself to go back a few pages to show Margot one of the shirts he's marked out, and she says approvingly,
Yeah, like the guy in Stardust."
"He was hot," Elliot agrees, from his admittedly fuzzy memories of watching the movie with Margot during a themed marathon in their first year at Breakbills. "Who was that?"
"He's... shit. Fuck. It's... I saw him in something last year," Margot says, tapping her finger against her chin. It takes her some time to remember, but then she lights up.
"Right. Yeah, he's playing the lead in that new Daredevil series." Elliot shrugs a little.
"Jesus, Al, I told you to watch that months ago."
In fairness, Margot has told him to watch or read any number of things that he's never gotten around to actually checking out.
"I don't look anything like Charlie Cox,"
Quentin interrupts, baffled and, maybe flattered. And of course he's seen whatever it was. He might have even watched it with Margot, depending on what she meant by last year.
Do you think I look like him?"
"You will when we put you in this shirt,"
Elliot says.
"And no, you can't see it yet."
"Then tell Margot to come back over here. I'm getting bored,"
Quentin says in such a deliberately bratty tone that Elliot has to bite back a delighted smile. And of course that means Margot absolutely must stay right where she is, poring over the pages with Elliot for several minutes before she finally, with a parting kiss to Elliot's temple, bustles back over to Q, who isn't even pretending not to stare longingly.
"Did you miss me?"
Margot teases him, flicking him lightly in the nose with her finger.
"Poor little Q, left all by himself."
Quentin tilts his chin up in a plea for a kiss.
Q can't manage to actually call either of them mommy or daddy during sex. He'd tried for them, but he'd only been able to keep a straight face for maybe 5 seconds before breaking down into helpless laughter. But he can certainly play demanding and needy well.
"I missed you a lot."
Quentin's hands are still gripping the edges of his stool where Margot had placed them back when she'd first had him sit down, so that she could do her work in peace. So instead of reaching for her, his whole body has to yearn towards her and wait impatiently. Margot steps into Quentin's space, presses her body up against him as they kiss, her hands wandering down to feel him up.
After a few moments, hardly enough to satisfy their cue, she moves away again. Quentin shifts uncomfortably on the stool, letting out a frustrated huff of breath.
This crap on my face is itchy.
Maybe you're allergic, Margot considers. She touches his cheek, rubs at the mark. We'll try something else. Elliot spends a long while with the portfolio, finding lots of options to consider, a handful of pants and shirts that might be fine with only minor alterations, and, tentatively, a clingy skirt that flares out at the knee. He isn't sure how Quentin will feel about that suggestion, but Elliot will feel like a coward if he doesn't make it, so it goes on the list. Margot and Quentin seem to be making progress, though Q occasionally sounds sulky. Elliot goes through his list again, matching some outfits together and prioritizing. Like Margot, he can't wait to see Quentin in that corset, so it goes to the top of the list. He focuses in on his work, not letting Margot and Quentin's chatter distract him, and ends up with a fairly serviceable to-do list for the Royal Tailor. All he needs now are Q's measurements. The next time he looks up, Quentin has his eyes closed as Margot blends careful strokes of a shimmery prismatic yellow on his eyelids. She's done his mouth already, made it wine red and glossy, and even more kissable than usual. Elliot sits back and watches as she finishes up with steady hands and a soft, sure voice. She unpins Q's hair and lets it fall back down around his face, then does a quick sealing spell to make it all smudge-proof.
Oh, yes, honey, that works for you, she says. Let me grab the mirror.
She hands a hand mirror to him, and Quentin wrinkles his nose as he studies his face. Elliot does too. Margot has gone all out, foundation to smooth out his skin tone, concealer where needed, blush and bronzer to hint at color, eyeliner to define and emphasize, visible but not overwhelming eyeshadow, with the centerpiece the eye-catching, glistening lipstick that makes Elliot's dick ache at the thought of seeing Quentin on his knees.
I don't look like me. Quentin doesn't say it with any particular inflection, staring into the mirror. Is that good or bad? Elliot asks, getting up from his reading nook and going over to join Quentin and Margot.
He leans over and briefly presses his finger against the dark, dark red of Q's mouth, watches Quentin blink when he sees the contrast in the mirror.
Would you fuck a guy who looks like this, Q?
Quentin glances up at Elliot, smiles ruefully and counters.
Would a guy like this fuck me?
There's something odd in his tone, something unfamiliar that Elliot can't lock down. Then Quentin looks away, gaze flicking towards Margot, and says,
This isn't how you do your makeup.
I've got a particular style I know works for me, Margot says, just like Elle does. You, on the other hand, are a blank canvas. So I got to play around with colors I don't normally use. She cups his cheek, tilts his chin up. This brings out the hints of gold in your eyes.
My eyes are just brown,
Quentin says, dismissively, but after Margot drops her hand, he's looking into the mirror again, trying to see it. His eyes are mostly a darling shade of brown, of course, but there are flickers of lighter colors hidden in the irises, and Margot has done a wonderful job coaxing them to be more visible.
You don't think I look silly? Like I'm trying to be something I'm not? We create who we want to be moment by moment, Elliot says.
Quentin frowns.
Some of us just do it more deliberately than others. Why shouldn't this be you, too? The question that matters is whether or not you feel okay letting it be. And, Quentin, either answer is fine. This doesn't have to be you. But it's your choice. You don't look silly to me.
Quentin bites down on his lower lip, watches himself do it in the mirror, lets out an unsteady breath.
You'd fuck a guy who looks like this?
And that strange note in his voice from earlier is back. His voice had gone quavery on the word fuck in a way it doesn't normally. Elliot reorders the words in his head because it seems possible Quentin is actually asking, if I look like this, will you fuck me? And wow, that is an entire conversation he didn't realize they needed to have this soon.
Bambi, why don't you go get something to eat? Elliot suggests. I need to get Q's measurements anyway. We'll catch up with you in a little while.
You sure? She asks. She's picked up on Quentin's tone, too, because she looks concerned. Elliot grabs her hand and presses a kiss to her knuckles, nods. She hesitates for a moment, then says,
Don't take too long.
She gives him and then Quentin each a quick buss on the cheek and heads out of the study, closing the door behind her with a click.
A private talk?
Quentin sets down the mirror, turns, and braces himself against the table, not quite meeting Elliot's gaze.
Am I in trouble? Lighthearted, playing it off if Elliot wants to. He doesn't.
Q, are you upset we haven't done anal?
The bluntness of the question startles Quentin into looking at him, eyes wide and set off so beautifully by Margot's work.
Jesus, Elle, that's...
And he laughs, but it's small and nervous.
Why would I be upset about that?
Elliot raises an eyebrow because that is, in fact, the question at hand.
I mean, I've been...
Quentin tucks his hair behind his ears, wraps his arms around his chest, shrugs.
I mean, you haven't even, brought it up? I know you like it. You've talked about it before we, like, way back before. But you haven't even mentioned it since all this started? Or, am I just not... Do I not?
Elliot steps in towards Quentin, frames Q's face with his hands. Quentin's familiar facial expressions as he frets somehow stand out even more now that all his natural lines have been smoothed out.
I've fantasized about fucking you probably 1,000 times since I first saw you, Elliot says.
Quentin's lips part and he looks so goddamn relieved. And fuck, Elliot is pissed at himself for not realizing that Q might get anxious over this.
But I'm pretty sure you haven't done it before.
No, Quentin admits.
The most I did with guys was just blowjobs and handjobs.
He swallows hard and asks, plaintive.
But I think about it. Why haven't you asked me if I want to?
I was gonna work up to it slowly, Elliot says. And wow, that sounds like such a load of horseshit when he says it out loud. And Quentin doesn't look like he believes Elliot anyway. Elliot sighs, traces his thumb over Quentin's bruised dark lips. He's told Quentin enough of his other worries. He can trust Quentin with this, too.
Okay, so I was worried about scaring you off.
Elle, Quentin reaches up, clasps his hands around Elliot's wrists, and just holds on. The corner of his mouth twitches a little, not quite a smile, and he says gently,
You aren't going to scare me off, but maybe you can walk me through where your head is? What makes me different than the other guys?
It's somewhat astonishing, even baffling, that Quentin can ask that question when the answer feels so obvious. Elliot has to look away for a while, trying to figure out how to put it into words.
It's easy to ask when it won't hurt if the guy freaks out and leaves, Elliot says, daring a glance back at Quentin, who looks, fuck,
patient and kind and adoring, the way he'd looked when he'd given that sweet speech and crowned Elliot as High King.
And... Fucking is nice, yeah, but it's not the be-all end-all of sex. I didn't want you to feel like it's expected. What we have, Q, it means so much to me, more than any... Even back at the start, you mattered to me. You were cute and funny, and the last time someone surprised me the way you did, it was Bambi. I want you to stay in my life, whatever that means.
Quentin slams his mouth shut on whatever he was about to say, strokes the inside of Elliot's wrists with his thumbs.
I want that too. And maybe I won't like...
He breathes out a laugh.
Anal sex, getting fucked, bottoming, whatever. But I'd like the chance to find out.
He leans up and kisses Elliot, gentle and soft, and hugs Elliot's hands down to his waist.
So, stop acting like my butt has a no trespassing sign on it.
Elliot takes the hint, slides his hands into Quentin's pants, and flexes his fingers across Quentin's skin. He buries his face in Q's neck, half kissing and half biting, and squeezes Q's ass the way he's been dreaming of doing since that first fucking day on the Brakebills' lawn, feels the soft give under his fingertips. Quentin gasps, breathy, but doesn't object. Elliot rocks against Quentin hard, making the table bang against the wall behind them. He slips his fingers down, presses against Q's asshole, but fuck, he needs to... He pulls his hands out of Q's pants, and they're shaking too much to do the tuts. Quentin stares at him, mouth half open, and looking way too fucking much like a wet dream.
That spell I showed you for jerking off, Elliot says, feeling, shit, frantic and desperate. The lube spell. Do it for me, okay?
And Quentin looks... Startled still, but he listens, twisting his fingers into the tuts and then rubbing them wet and slippery against Elliot's. Elliot kisses him as a thank you, fast and clumsy, bumping their noses and clacking their teeth together. Quentin isn't letting go of his hands.
Elliot yanks again, confused, and then Quentin says, with a tenderness that makes Elliot's heart ache, Hey, I'm not going anywhere, Elle. You can slow down, I won't disappear. Quentin leans in for another kiss, deeper, lingering. Elliot falls into it, into Q. Quentin's mouth is slick soft with the lipstick that Margot put on him, and he's so warm inside. I'm here, Q whispers into his mouth. I'm right here. He hadn't been totally bullshitting Quentin earlier. There had been a timeline of sorts in his head about the idea of gradually encouraging Quentin to think about, but that's destroyed now, thankfully. This is so much better. They kiss for, fuck, so long that Elliot loses track of himself inside Quentin's mouth. Kissing Quentin has felt natural and intoxicating right from the start, even when Elliot had barely been able to feel his own body through the booze and the heartache and the guilt. You are so fucking pretty. Look how pretty you are, Elliot marvels, during a break in the kissing, running slick fingers over Quentin's lovely, flawless makeup. He almost regrets that he can't smudge it. You have no idea how much I needed something this good in my life. I have some idea, Quentin says. He nuzzles against Elliot, kissing under his ear. Elliot yanks on Q's hair, pulls his mouth back to kiss it again and again and again, anchors himself with a hand at the back of Q's neck. He doesn't rush to the gold ring this time, opens up Quentin's shirt, licks and tugs at his nipples while Quentin clutches onto Elliot's shoulders like he can't stand on his own. He nips at Quentin's biceps, curves his fingers around Q's waist. He slides his hand under Quentin again, but this time to lift him up, set him on the table so that Q can wrap his legs around Elliot as he goes back for more kisses. But, baby, I don't... Elliot presses his hips against Quentin's. I still don't want to go too fast. Fingers now, and maybe I can eat you out. But I don't want... Baby, I want to fuck you for the first time with Bambi in the room, too. Because Quentin has been theirs from the very start, from when Elliot rushed back to the cottage to tell Margot all about the adorable prospective student he'd escorted to the exam and how much he hoped the kid would pass the test. And I really want. I'd love to see her peg you. Elliot sucks at Quentin's collarbone, strokes down the soft hair of his stomach. Fuck, why'd I start this in a room without a bed? I need you in a bed. Lay Quentin out on his back. He likes that better. Have him hold his legs up, have... Do that invisible cushion spell, Quentin suggests. Or, wait, shit, I can do it. Quentin cannot, in fact, do the invisible cushion spell, as he calls it, or Durantia's gravity mitigation spell, as it is actually called, with all that much reliability, because he's not always great at casting spells where he can't see the results. But Elliot, honestly, is far too busy kissing Q's jawline to argue the point. He feels Quentin steady himself and pull his hands away from Elliot, and then a few seconds later he feels the small rush of air created by the spell. So he picks Quentin up and staggers backwards towards the sound until the back of his legs hit something soft. It feels a little too soft, but Elliot falls onto it anyway. Instead of giving slightly like a high-quality bed, it's more like flopping into a beanbag chair, but now he's on his back and Quentin is straddling his hips, and Elliot isn't going to complain about any of that. Hey, Elliot says, breathless, grinning up at Quentin, who is backlit by the light from the window and looks like a painting of a fucking angel or something, high contrast and classically beautiful with his shirt half undone and his hair a disheveled, glorious mess. Renaissance painters would have sold their souls for a muse like this. Elliot reaches up, traces a finger along the plush line of Q's mouth. How did I get so lucky? I think that's my line, Quentin says, but the implied praise makes him glow. He opens his mouth for Elliot's finger, closes his lips around it and sucks, and fuck, it makes Elliot's cock twitch to watch. He pulls off with a slight pop, then asks, does the lipstick make that hotter for you? It's always pretty fucking hot, Elliot says, tapping his wet finger on Q's nose. But yeah, the visual contrast is a definite turn-on. He touches near the outer corner of Quentin's eye, making him blink. I guess it's a perversion of innocence fantasy, too, in a way. Quentin stares at him, looking utterly unimpressed, eyebrows raised as he waits for the clarification. You ever seen Rocky Horror? Elliot trails his fingers down Quentin's cheek, and there's a slow dawning flush of realization there. Elliot takes a moment to wonder when and where Q watched the movie, if it was alone or in a group, if it was before or after the first time he jerked off or blew another guy.
Come on, you know it can be hot.
Wait, so who am I in this fantasy? Q wrinkles his nose, and it's cute and fascinating because Elliot can actually see him rummaging through his memories of the movie, just in how his face moves.
Ugh, not that boring guy. Please don't say I'm the whiny, boring one. Even at the end, he was complaining about everything.
Don't worry, Elliot says. There's a certain ironic humor in Quentin complaining about not wanting to be the one who complains, but Elliot isn't going to point it out to him.
I was thinking of Janet, Susan Sarandon's character. She gets into the spirit of it all a lot more.
And wow, does that bring up some interesting mental images that he tucks away to think about more later.
She gets that fun number about her sexual awakening.
He hums the melody for a few bars, then sings, "Touch me, I want to be dirty," and rubs his hands up Quentin's chest.
Definitely more of a Janet. Elliot, I have the singing voice of a dying frog, Quentin says flatly. You know this. Frogs are actually very good singers.
Elliot twinkles up at him.
I mean, really, you're more like a sick donkey, sweetheart.
He tugs Quentin down and kisses him again as his mouth is opening to reply. Quentin sputters, but just for a moment, then melts into the kiss. Elliot thinks, ridiculously, that when he dies, he wants to be buried in this feeling. Quentin draped over him, hair falling into Elliot's face and the impossible perfection of his hot, yielding mouth.
Perversion of innocence, Quentin echoes, bemused, when he pulls away. He shakes his head, frowns slightly. Is that a thing for Margot too, or is that all you?
You'll have to ask her, Elliot says archly. It wouldn't be the same for her anyway.
Quentin's brow furrows and he tilts his head, so Elliot explains.
Bambi isn't likely to be nursing any corrupt the straight boy daydreams, after all.
After a beat, Quentin's confusion clears away and his expression falls. Elliot palms his jawline.
Hey, what's wrong? I don't want to be a trophy, Quentin says, and it takes Elliot a second to understand.
He sighs, moves his hand to press his knuckles against Quentin's mouth. The lipstick is pretty, but it's also becoming fairly clear that it, the idea of what it might mean to Elliot and Margot, keeps distracting Quentin.
You aren't. We aren't. You know we aren't doing all this to use you to check items off a bucket list.
Elliot does a series of tuts with his left hand and wipes his knuckles down from Quentin's lips to his chin. The makeup floats off Q's face in tiny, shimmering fragments, compacts into a tiny ball that lands in Elliot's palm. Quentin blinks, reaches down, and takes the makeup ball from Elliot, rolls it between his fingers.
There, that's better. It's just you and me now. Tell me what's bothering you.
Quentin looks younger with the makeup gone, and uncertain in a way that is, honestly, kind of devastating. It reminds Elliot of how Quentin had been right after he'd come back from Breakbill South, when he was trying to figure out why Alice had turned him down, why she hadn't believed his feelings were real.
You don't really think I'm straight, right? We've never talked about it, I guess, but I didn't know we needed to. I feel like sucking your dick so many times kind of disqualifies me.
Elliot is torn for a long moment between the impulse to share, because a fragile part of him is certain Quentin would understand, and the deep-rooted desire to deflect away before Q sees too far behind Elliot's facade. Being charming is so much easier than being honest. Quentin's face is heartbreaking, though, and Elliot won't be able to avoid this conversation forever. So, time to gather up his goddamn courage and power through being sincere and, God fucking help him, emotionally vulnerable, the actual worst thing in the world. Maybe it'll be easier if he pretends it's a secret spell. Then he can turn into a fucking bird afterwards and escape from his own feelings.
You grew up in Jersey, right? Suburbs?
Elliot asks, and Quentin nods warily. Elliot puts on a bright smile as much as he can.
I grew up in a small town. Well, near a small town, in Indiana. It was not an ideal place to be who I am. So, yeah, Q, I actually knew several guys who liked dick and still called themselves straight, and got pretty fucking mad if anyone said different.
There had been a rough couple of years there when he'd been one of those guys.
They hurt you? Quentin touches Elliot's cheek, and Elliot shies away instinctively, then forces himself to relax again.
I had some magic by then, remember?
Elliot's fingers feel numb and tingly at the tips, and he thinks he might be sweating.
Secret spell, he reminds himself. He did all this with Bambi once. He can do it for Quentin.
Nothing I could consciously control yet, but it was there when I needed it.
I'm sorry, El, Quentin says, his fingers curling against Elliot's cheek. He's not sure Q realizes he's doing it.
I'm not straight. I don't really think much past that most of the time, which I guess, I know that means I grew up lucky in a lot of ways. Because I didn't need to think about it or to find myself if I didn't want to.
I should apologize, too. Elliot reaches up and wraps his fingers around Quentin's, trying to be comforting.
We all carry some fucked up shit in our brains from how we grew up, but I don't want to project any of that onto you.
You haven't, I don't think you need to apologize for anything, Quentin says.
But do you think this might be, related? I mean, you've been calling me your boyfriend for a couple of weeks now, so some part of you has to know I'm not going to be like that.
When I was drowning, you saved me.
And he can't actually say that. He can't throw that heavy weight on Quentin. It's not fair.
But it's true. Maybe the truest thing in his life. He'd been so screwed up after what had happened with the person who hadn't really been Mike.
Ready to lose himself in liquor and drugs and danger. Then he'd woken up with a head full of fuzzy memories, Margot and Quentin kissing over him in the warm light of dawn, and he'd been thrown a lifeline. He's still fucked up sometimes, even now, but between this thing with Margot and Quentin and, surprisingly, Elliot not actually being a horrible high king, life has been getting better.
All that experienced dom shit that Margot and I try to do with you, Elliot says instead.
In some ways, I've been using it to focus on you so that I can push away my fear. We've joked about it a couple of times, but there really is this part of me that is constantly telling me you're going to wake up one day, decide you've had enough, and then you and Bambi will abandon you and go off to be a heteronormative couple back on Earth while you're stuck in Fillory, get married and have 2.5 kids and a dog.
It sounds ridiculous when Quentin says it out loud, but it always sounds so fucking true when it's the voice at the back of his head whispering it.
Yeah, Elliot says. Something like that. Okay, from my own experience, I'm not sure there's anything I can actually say to shut up that voice, Quentin says, with an unhappy twitch to his mouth.
So all I can do is keep being here. He gives Elliot a hopeful smile.
So did we just completely fuck over the mood, or is there still a chance you want to put your fingers in my ass?
Elliot laughs, tugs Quentin's hand down for a kiss.
Not here. Now that we've had a second to breathe, let's go somewhere with a goddamn bed. I want to lay you out properly.
After a slight hesitation, he asks,
do you want this to stay with just you and me right now, or do you want Bambi there? She'd be into watching, but you'd be pretty exposed. Is that something you want today?
Quentin goes on a somewhat complicated face journey, so Elliot waits him out through the uncertainty and the temptation until he seems to settle on squishing his face together sheepishly.
You think she'd mind we took the makeup off?
Well, I happen to know from an inside source that she thinks you're kinda cute as is, Elliot teases.
I think she'll be okay with it.
More seriously, he adds, this was just a trial run to see if you liked it.
I didn't hate it.
Quentin says, his hands moving to express his point. It takes him a moment to realize that Elliot is still holding on to one of them, letting it be moved along.
But I didn't like seeing someone else in the mirror.
We could try just some eyeliner and lip gloss next time. Elliot pictures it, smudges of dark around Q's eyes, and a hint of extra shine on Q's mouth. Another thought pokes at him, and he asks, concerned,
Q, if you want to see the clothes before I have them made, you can look at the portfolio. The mystery was supposed to be something to amp up anticipation, but if it bothers you, of course you can look. You know when Margot and I make rules, you're always allowed to veto, right? Even if you've already said yes, you can take it back.
Quentin looks slightly surprised, which, Okay, Elliot should have called that, too. He is so fucking bad at this. With all the mistakes they make, it's a miracle that Quentin is still somehow convinced that he and Margot are sex gods. Though that's less down to them, Elliot suspects, and more to Q's own past. As he's told it to them in bits and pieces, Quentin's list of sexual experiences has, as a whole, sounded like something out of the plotline of an X-rated slapstick comedy, or maybe a farce. And while it was possibly less immediately traumatizing than Elliot's own tragi-gay upbringing, he and Margot have both noticed that far too much of Quentin's past sex life consists of encounters that he hadn't particularly wanted before they started, but had gone along with anyway because he hadn't wanted to make a fuss by slamming on the brakes. And it takes more than a couple of weeks of reminding him about enthusiastic consent for that lesson to fully overwrite years of experience telling him that his desires are secondary at best. Elliot has had so much mind-blowing sex with people he didn't even care about remembering the next day, but now, when it's something, when he has someone he wants to keep around, there's a terrifying amount of actual work involved. He can't just fucking forget, not with Q. "You guys aren't expecting me to, wear any of it out in public?" Quentin asks. Suspiciously, no, cautiously. Their little Q, who loves long sleeves and hides behind his hair whenever he feels uncomfortable.
"Only with the three of us,"
Elliot promises, and Quentin's dimples peek out as he smiles.
"Yeah, okay, I don't mind waiting," Quentin says. "Like you said, it's all a test to see how I feel, and I can't really imagine how clothes look on me when they're pictures on a page."
He grabs at the collar of Elliot's shirt, smooths his fingers over the fabric.
I like when Margot sees me, exposed.
It takes Elliot a second to rewind to the earlier part of their conversation.
"Then let's go find her."
Margot is at dinner with Alice and Fenn, talking about actual Florian concerns, so that puts a pause on their other plans for a while. It's nice, honestly, to genuinely be friends with Alice. She's a bit of an asshole, sharp and brittle with a caustic edge to her humor. All things Elliot approves of in his friends. And she'd taken the revelation about their relationship shockingly well, with a startled laugh, a general air of mild regret over missed opportunities, and a rueful, "Well, I can't blame you for noticing how cute he is," that had endeared her to Elliot considerably. Her marriage with Fenn seems to be panning out, too, which is wonderful news for the whole kingdom. After the latest issues are addressed, Margot looks them both over, gaze lingering on Q's hair and his rumpled clothes, and asks pointedly,
"So did you actually get Q's measurements, or did you just make out for a while?"
Elliot gives a helpless shrug, and she rolls her eyes. "I swear, you two are useless without me." She starts to head back to the study, but Elliot takes her by the arm to head off toward their bedroom instead, tossing off a breezy comment to Tick that they'll be retiring for the night.
"We got distracted," Elliot admits to her.
Margot reaches out with her other hand and reels Q in as they walk. In her heels, she's only barely shorter than Quentin, and they look so lovely and perfectly matched. That little voice in the back of his head tries to make that into a bad thing, and he tells it to shut the fuck up.
"Quentin lectured me about how I've been treating him like a frightened straight boy, and I conceded the point."
Quentin laughs at that characterization of their talk, but doesn't argue.
"Ha," Margot says triumphantly. "I told you, Al. I told you."
He pats her hand, silently conceding that point as well.
"You should know by now that I'm always right about everything."
She leans away from him against Quentin and tells Q, sugar sweet and spilling all of Elliot's secrets,
"Al has been raving about that particular feature of yours since the first time he met you. I hope that Coldwater kid passes the test, if only so I can get a better look at his ass," were his exact words. "I swear to everything holy." "And then we actually get our hands on you, and it's suddenly all, 'I think he needs more time to get used to the idea of Bambi.'"
"Pfft. How much do you talk about me when I'm not there?"
Quentin asks, but he sounds amused and pleased, not unhappy or anxious about it, crinkles showing at the corners of his eyes.
"You need a hobby."
"Dumpling, we always talked about you way too fucking much. You've been our hobby since you passed that damn entrance exam," Margot says.
And she hip-checks Quentin hard enough to throw off his balance and make him playfully bump back against her shoulder and, for once, not complain or pull a face about her constantly rotating list of pet names.
"Looking back, there really was nowhere it could go except us trying to bang you."
and Quentin stops dead in his tracks and presses his whole damn body against Margot so that he can drop a kiss against her cheek and whisper something in her ear that makes her giggle. She spins around, tugging out of Elliot's grasp, and Quentin ends up in the middle, going up on his toes to place a similar kiss on Elliot's face, too. Elliot rests his arm on Quentin's shoulders and briefly entertains the idea of just ducking into the closest room and taking the risk of someone walking in on them. But no, he wants the privacy and comfort of having Quentin spread out on their bed, so he tucks the fantasy away for the next time he jerks off. Elliot locks the door once they're in the room, with a quick tut to keep it secure. Margot is interrogating Quentin on the conversation they'd had earlier, and he hears her ask about the missing makeup too, lightly enough that Quentin answers honestly, so that's all good. They're sitting on the edge of the bed while they talk, so Elliot tugs over a cushy armchair and sits facing them. They look so fucking cute together, body language mirroring each other and knees touching as they chat, Margot tilting her head coquettishly, while Quentin is more awkward about it, but still shyly flirtatious. "Quentin was telling me that you think you want to hold off on the actual fucking?" Margot's hand is resting on Quentin's thigh, slowly stroking the fabric. "Just fingers and a rim job for right now?" Elliot shrugs with an affected carelessness. "Well, if he ends up begging me for more, I suppose I'd be morally obligated to give it to him." He reaches out and places his hand on Quentin's bare ankle, showing between his shoes and the hem of his pants. "But if you've never had anything up your ass before, it's not a terrible idea to take things slowly." "Especially with Elle's huge dick involved," Margot agrees with a smirk. Her hand slides up to press against Quentin's cock, rubs in tiny circles. Quentin's breath catches, and he slumps a bit towards Margot, obviously aching to be kissed. Elliot strokes his thumb over Quentin's ankle, leans forward out of the chair to give Quentin the kiss he's begging for, his left hand fumbling down to join Margot's. He can't get his fingers around Q's dick properly with his pants still on, but he can stroke at it, find the head and press underneath the way Quentin likes. Margot's hand goes away, and he hears her moving around Quentin on the bed, tugging at him to pull him to the center. Elliot does his best to help, reluctantly letting go and reaching under Quentin to lift him up and push him back onto the bed. He doesn't, can't stop kissing Quentin, though, deep, messy, wet kisses, because this is still so wonderfully new, and he's hungry for Quentin's mouth every fucking day. They get Quentin undressed, which is generally always step one, because Q gets so flushed and hot over being naked while they're fully clothed. And then come the logistics. Pillow under his hips so that he can be on his back and see their faces like he prefers. Margot whispers to him, and, blush deepening, Quentin reaches down to hold his legs up and open. Margot curls up next to Quentin, strokes his dick, which is mostly soft but jumps when she touches it, and Elliot settles himself between Quentin's legs. It really is a fantastic view. He's had the chance to take a few looks, but now he really lets it sink in. Soft and hairy inner thighs, ball sack and sweetly tempting cock, darker wrinkled skin underneath leading to the tightly closed hole. He glances up Quentin's body and meets Q's eyes, watching him with fascination. And, well, he knows Quentin likes to look at his hands when he casts, so Elliot makes a bit of a production out of the tuts. Quentin blinks and wriggles in surprise as the modified healing spell takes effect, cleans him out on the inside. "Since we didn't have time to give you a shower before," Elliot tells him, and Quentin's eyes widen in understanding, maybe a hint of relief. Then Elliot does a spell that's more familiar to Q, slicking his fingers up with conjured lube. Leans down, kisses his way along Quentin's leg, and presses one finger lightly against Q's hole. "If you can, baby, relax." Margot is cupping Quentin's dick gently now, not jerking him off, just holding him. Quentin's eyes occasionally stray from watching Elliot's hands to checking out Margot's breasts, visible through the dip in her dress. Elliot had kicked off his shoes before getting on the bed, but Margot is still every inch a queen, from the crown on her head down to her tall, deadly heels. Quentin might not be a scared straight boy, but Elliot can feel his nerves, the trembling of his thighs, the harshness of his breath, his thundering pulse. So he takes it slow, slicks around the outside of Quentin's asshole, while he sucks kisses into Quentin's thighs. He doesn't try to push inside until he feels Q's muscles begin to loosen, his heartbeat settling. Then, smooth and sure, he breaches the entrance with just the tip of his middle finger, resting like that for a while, letting Quentin's body get used to him. and Q feels silky and tight and lovely inside, and Elliot has to lean his forehead against Quentin's leg and breathe for a second. He pulls his finger out, goes back to petting Quentin's skin, strokes over his balls, down his perineum, skates his fingers over but not in. He risks a glance upward. Margot is kissing Quentin's neck, saying soft, sweet things to him. His head has fallen back against the pillow, but Elliot can make out enough to see that he doesn't look unhappy. Okay. He presses his finger back inside, deeper this time, watching Quentin's face. Q's mouth twitches slightly, then stills again. Elliot focuses back down, crooks his fingers, straightens it out again, slides it out, and then leans forward to press a closed-mouth kiss against Q's twitching hole. He can hear Quentin's breathing catch, feels his hands release his legs for a moment before he catches them again. Elliot opens his mouth and licks, and of course, because of the spells, only tastes the slick mildness of the lube at first. He kisses his way up to Quentin's balls, spends a few moments licking and sucking, then back down again, and he presses his finger against Quentin to open him up enough that he can lick inside and keep at it until he's tasting Q instead of the lube. He wants to look up to check in, but he also wants to stay here forever, teasing his tongue against Q's quivering skin. Margot will let him know if he needs to stop. He trusts her on that, so he stays put, slips his finger into Quentin while kissing his asshole, deep and messy and forceful. He wants so badly to make this feel amazing for Quentin, and it's only, to his own surprise, only some of it is because he wants Quentin to want it again in the future. Most of his desire is immediate, a fierce, burning need to please the boy who dropped into his life unexpectedly and made everything more than it was before. Elliot has to take a moment to feel that yearning settle into his bones. Quentin's hips shift restlessly. A second finger then, sliding in and joining the first, pushing deeper, searching. Elliot glances up again because he wants to see Quentin's face when he finds it. Quentin's dick is more than half hard now, Margot's fingers caressing it so lightly that Q must barely be able to feel her. And his face. He's biting down on his lower lip, trying to lift his head to watch, but he can't keep it up for long before he falls back onto the pillow. Elliot's fingers twist and brush over. Yes, Quentin reacts instantly, arching up onto his shoulders and breath punching out of him in shock and everything inside him tightening around Elliot's fingers. One of Quentin's legs drops down to the bed as he reaches up and covers his face with his hand. Elliot waits, gives him time. Margot gives Q's cock a soft pat, then pulls his leg up, kisses his knee. "Brave new world," she says sympathetically. "Probably wondering how you went your whole life without some girlfriend or boyfriend sticking something up there before, huh?" Quentin nods, still blocking out most of his face. "Yeah, it was, before that it just kind of felt weird. Not bad, it was interesting, but mostly weird." Quentin takes in a few deep breaths and his muscles begin to relax again. "But it feels, like that's a lot. Does he have, how much is..." "Two fingers." Elliot leans his head against Q's thigh, sucks a kiss into the skin there. Quentin shakes his head disbelievingly. "Feels like more than that?" "Feels like a fucking zucchini or baseball bat," Quentin says. He shifts again against Elliot's hand. "How the fuck is your dick supposed to fit in there?" "Things do stretch," Elliot says, amused. He slides his fingers over Q's prostate again, and Quentin catches his breath. It's not such a surprise this time, so he controls it better, but it's still beautiful to see how he responds. "But we aren't planning on doing that tonight anyway, remember?" "Yeah," Quentin agrees faintly, hips twitching. "L, don't stop." "Uh-uh, little Q," Margot says, tugging his knee up another fraction of an inch. "Remember what we talked about. If it's a yes, frame it in positives. Daddy likes encouragement, you know that." Quentin just lies there for a long moment, then he finally pulls his hand off his face and says, very clearly and distinctly, "L, move your fucking fingers again, please." And, well, far be it from him to ignore such a passionate request. Elliot starts slow, teasing, until Quentin is squirming back against his hand, trying to shove Elliot's fingers deeper. Q's hand slips off his other leg, and so Elliot pulls his fingers out, earning a soft whimper of protest. and uses a hand gesture in his telekinesis to pull Quentin's leg back up to where it should be. Quentin tries to cover his face again, but Margot tugs his hand down and presses it against the bed. So Quentin clutches at the sheets and he whines, high and needy, when Elliot pushes his fingers back inside. His cock is hard and lonesome against his stomach, so Elliot indulges himself, leaning down to lick a firm stripe up the shaft, while his fingers twist and thrust inside. Quentin doesn't have any control over his hips, but he also has no leverage, so Elliot takes advantage, sucking at the tip of Q's cock, pressing the point of his tongue against the slit. He can taste pre-cum in his mouth, can feel the way Q's dick shivers and shudders against his lips. He rubs firmly with his fingers, considers trying to get a third in, but he thinks Quentin might already be close enough to coming. Better to leave him wanting more than to overreact and push too hard. Elliot presses a tender kiss to the head of Quentin's cock, says, "I want to see you make a mess all over yourself. Will you do that for me, baby?" The words wind Quentin up tighter, and it only takes a little more stroking, another handful of licks and kisses. Then he's falling over the edge, striping his stomach and Elliot's chin with cum. Elliot watches Quentin as he breathes heavily, his hands relaxing against the bed. Margot gently lowers his leg, presses up against his side, careful to avoid getting close enough to the spatters to get anything on her outfit. "Okay," Quentin says, after his breathing has settled down a little. "Jesus, oh, fuck." Elliot takes that as his cue to slowly slip his fingers out, then gradually releases Quentin's other leg as well. He's agonizingly hard, kind of regretting his choice of pants for today, but he puts it away, keeps his gaze on Quentin's face. "So, Q, thoughts?" "Ha, none." Quentin stares up at the ceiling. "My brain doesn't exist anymore." "We'll give you some time to recover," Marco says, her outward shell of concern covering a shitload of amusement. She reaches down and runs her fingers up Quentin's torso, gathering a fingerful of cum and presses it to Quentin. His eyes go a little cross-eyed as he looks at her hand, but he opens his mouth obediently, sucks on her fingers when she sticks them inside. Elliot gets up and washes his hands and face in the bathroom, swishes around and gargles some mouthwash too, while he's at it. He considers how dazed Quentin had looked afterwards, then takes his dick out of his pants and jerks off into the toilet. Washes his hands again and comes back with a warm, wet washcloth. Margot has mostly cleaned Quentin off by now, feeding him his own cum a little bit at a time, but Elliot rubs the last of the streaks off before they can start to dry. He leans in and collects a distracted, sloppy kiss from Quentin.
"You taste like mint," Quentin complains.
"Figure you'd prefer that,"
Elliot says, and he can see the moment when Quentin realizes.
"Oh, yeah."
Then Quentin looks at them both and says, uncomfortably,
I should do you too, I'm just..."
"Maybe a smidge too tired?" Margot suggests archly. "Don't worry, baby Q. One of the pluses of our situation is knowing I'll get mine again at some point, even if it isn't right now. This was about you, and that's okay."
"My mouth would probably still work if you want," Quentin says, but then he yawns right after. "Shit, sorry."
"How about you use your mouth to wake me up tomorrow? That would be nice."
Margot pets Q's shoulder comfortingly, then pushes up from the bed.
"I'll get changed. You take over cuddle duty, L."
L settles in on Quentin's other side, stroking over his bare skin. When Margot is ready for the night, they switch again so that Elliot can change out of his day clothes. Quentin watches it all, sleepily, naked and content to be fussed over.
"I've been wondering," Quentin says, while Elliot is tugging his shirt off, because sometimes he stays quiet in the afterglow, and sometimes he wants to start in-depth philosophical discussions.
"Should we have, safe words?"
Elliot and Margot exchange a look, and he nods at her to take this one.
"Q, Sugar Plum, Chickadee, Angel Cake."
And with each pet name, she nuzzles in and kisses him somewhere. Point of his chin, tip of his nose, curve of his neck. With a loud smacking sound. Quentin bats at her face, but not with enough force to make any real attempt to stop her.
"Dearest, lamb, we want you to be real fucking comfortable using no and stop and don't appropriately before we get into anything fancy."
"I guess that makes sense," Quentin allows reluctantly.
Do you guys have one already?
I mean, you must, right? If you do that thing with Elle?
We do, she says, shrugs. Minus Scarlet.
Harvest, Elliot offers, sitting back down on the bed. My safe word is harvest.
Quentin nods very seriously, hesitates, then asks,
why does Margot need one, if she's the one in charge? Humiliating someone else can hurt the person saying the words, too, if they're a good person, Elliot says.
Margot makes an exaggerated puking face when he calls her that, then reaches out for him so that she can hold his hand.
She needs a way to tap out if she feels it's going too far, but just backing off without safe-wording can feel like another extension of the game, if we're already deep into it. If she safe-words, then I know I need to break the scene and be her best friend again.
So when you play like that, no doesn't mean no, right? That's why you want me to wait.
Right, Elliot agrees. Usually no means make me when we're playing that game. But we make sure to check in at the beginning, have all the rules clear before we start.
How do you feel afterward? Quentin asks.
Both of you.
Exhausted, usually, Margot says immediately, drawing Q's attention, and it's a relief, giving Elliot a chance to gather his thoughts. He leans over Quentin to press a brief, grateful kiss to the top of her head.
I have to be in control every second. But as long as the scene goes well, I also feel pretty proud of myself for pulling it off.
Empty, Elliot says, then adds quickly, in a good way. I'm able to take all that bullshit from my past, focus it, and let it burn out. For as long as it lasts, anyway.
Okay, Quentin says, in a way that means he needs to process on his own for a while before he talks about this again. After a pause, he looks away from them both, then back again.
Anyway, I liked it. So we know that now.
We do, Elliot agrees.
You think you want to have Bambi peg you next time? We can make sure she uses a strap-on smaller than my dick so we can work you up to it.
With effort, Quentin pushes himself up off the bed and kisses Margot.
Yeah, he says as he drops back down, and he really does look worn out.
That sounds like fun.
Then he adds, all sweet concern. But, I should probably eat you out or something before, in case I'm this wiped out again afterwards.
Not gonna argue with that, Margot says, tucking herself firmly beside Quentin and arranging him to her liking. Elliot snuggles in on Q's other side, pulling the sheet up over the three of them.
And Elle and I get woken up with orgasms tomorrow morning?
She sounds half asleep already.
Yes, High Queen Margot, ma'am, Quentin says, amused.
As you wish. He kisses her forehead.
That sounds nice, Elliot says lightly. You should say it again, to me this time.
Quentin turns his head, touches Elliot's chin gently.
You have strange kinks.
They're actually fairly common ones, Elliot says dryly.
Yeah, whatever, High King Elliot, sir.
Quentin touches his own forehead, a mockery of a salute of some kind.
As requested, a blowjob in the morning, sir. You want me to shine your shoes, too?
Just shine my dick. Elliot closes his eyes and tugs Quentin closer, feels his fingers brush against Margot. Her breathing is evened out.
That's more than enough, trust me.
Oh, shut up and go to sleep, Quentin mutters. Elliot buries his face in Quentin's hair. He wonders if Quentin's seen the Princess Bride. He must have. It's just his sort of thing, right? But 2 weeks is a bit sudden for an I love you confession, even couched in a nerdy movie reference, so he was probably just teasing Margot. Still. Q's been friends with them for nearly a year now, so maybe it's not too early.
As you wish, Elliot says, very quietly, and he isn't sure whether or not he wants Quentin to hear him. But there isn't a reaction, so he supposes that Quentin didn't after all. For the best, really. It is much too soon for anything like that.
Still, Elliot lies awake a while longer, dreaming of impossible things. The end.